I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, February the 16th. Do you watch the popular TV show 24, where Special Agent Jack Bauer has been saving the world from terrorists over the past few seasons? This season, Jack, the good guy, is trying to stop terrorists from detonating nuclear bombs in the U.S. And in this disturbing scene, he's trying to get information out of his own brother, Graham, through torture. Graham has been injected with a chemical that causes intense pain. Jack is trying to find out the whereabouts of the bad guys.
Just breathe. Just breathe. Just breathe. Please. Just tell me what I need to know. How do I find McCarthy? Damn you. Damn you. 4 cc's.
That's 8 cc's total, Jack. His vitals are spiking across the line.
4 cc's! The machine knows you're lying! I know you're lying! Tell me the truth!
Well, Graham goes on to tell his brother that he doesn't know about the bad guys, but that he, Graham, was lying about something else, and it was that he ordered the assassination of the beloved President Palmer and two of Jack's close friends. Well, I watch 24 in part because my husband is a huge fan of this show. I don't watch the show Lost, but apparently torture scenes are a big part of that show, too. This is a scene where two of the characters are torturing another character on this island. These castaways apparently want to know where this character is hiding his asthma inhalers, his asthma medication. So he's getting the bamboo under the fingernails treatment.
I think you've never actually tortured anybody in your life.
Unfortunately for us both, you're wrong.
That's it? That's all you got? Splatters? No wonder we kicked your ass in the Gulf.
Well, I'm glad we're just hearing and not actually seeing these scenes. Is there anything wrong with these types of scenes on primetime TV, or are these just TV shows? Make-believe. Get over it as far as you're concerned. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll-free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We will talk with a guest who says that torture on TV is a problem. Jill Savitt is Director of Public Campaigns for Human Rights First. Human Rights First currently runs the Prime Time Torture Project. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's wrong with seeing shows like 24 and Lost depict torture in this way?
Well, there's been a drastic rise in the portrayal of torture on TV since 9/11. Where there used to be about 4 instances of torture a season, there are now about 100 per season. And what we've noticed also, in addition to the dramatic rise, is this pretty shocking shift in who tortures. It really used to be that only bad guys used torture. You know, Nazis and drug dealers and other assorted hoodlums and bad guys. You think of the movie Marathon Man, where Dustin Hoffman's character is tortured by a former Nazi. What we see now is good guys doing the torturing, heroes.
Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer, but also those characters on Lost. One is a doctor and the moral center of the show, and another is also a good guy on Law and Order.
So that sends the message that good guys torture, so it's okay?
Well, I'll tell you what we've identified as the problem is that it's really our problem is with the U.S. government policy on torture. There used to be an absolute ban, and since 9/11, the administration has relaxed that ban and authorized all kinds of coercive techniques, sleep deprivation, sensory deprivation, for Guantanamo, and then in Iraq and Afghanistan. And what happened was there were these official memos to soldiers that said, take the gloves off. Well, we interviewed interrogators, and they said, we had no idea what it meant to take the gloves off. And one particular interrogator who was at Abu Ghraib told us that the guys in the barracks were, and the women were watching DVDs and saying and discussing the techniques on the most popular American television shows and then going in the booth and imitating what they saw on TV.
And I'm sorry I interrupted you before. You say that Law and Order is another show where this is going on.
Yeah, the cops have done, have used torture. It's always in this ticking time bomb scenario where something imminent is about to happen. So on Law and Order, it was a guy who had kidnapped a small girl, and the girl needed to be found because they feared that she was going to be harmed. And so they did a mock drowning. The detective on the show did a mock drowning of the kidnapper.
We're talking with Jill Savitch. She is director of public campaigns for Human Rights First. Human Rights First is launching, running the Prime Time Torture Project. We'll talk more about what that entails after this weather break. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Welcoming your thoughts and questions about this in Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our Friday Week in Review, where we review the top news stories of the week with two guests from different perspectives. And then after 4 o'clock this afternoon, Ben Marins will host his regular Friday afternoon feature, Your Views on the News. That's coming up here on the Ideas Network. In this hour, we're talking about the depiction of torture on television. Our guest says it's on the rise, and that's very troubling. She is part of a human rights group that has launched a project to limit the impact of primetime TV shows, the impact they have on military interrogations, and how Americans view torture. You must, Jill Savitch, be happy to hear that 24 is saying that they're going to tone down the torture on future episodes.
Yeah, that out just yesterday, which was great. They say it's for creative reasons because torture on their show has become trite. It's interesting that it's the same week there's been a fair amount of media coverage about a trip we took, my organization, Human Rights First, took with three interrogators, with each with 30 years experience in the booth, and the general who runs West Point. We organized a trip of a small delegation to go out and talk to the writing staff of 24 and other shows, including Lost, where the dean of West Point, Brigadier General Patrick Finnegan, told the producers that Jack Bauer is one of his biggest training challenges.
And why is that?
Because the students say, when the laws of war course is being taught and the rules on interrogation are being shared, cadets say, but that doesn't seem like it's going to work. If we're going to get information, why wouldn't we just shoot him in the knee like Jack Bauer does? That gets the information more quickly. The training that students receive on interrogation really does pale significantly in comparison to the exposure to the media all of the images that they see on television.
And so what is it that you're trying to do with your Primetime Torture Project?
Well, there are two things. The first is we're making a military training film. And we've interviewed interrogators, and we've had them watch clips on television and talk about why that's illegal, why it doesn't work, and what does work in the interrogation booth. And then we interviewed the executive producers of 24 and Lost and some other shows, and we got them on camera to say, hey, we just make this up. This is entertainment. Do not do this. Mm-hmm. We never talked to interrogators. We didn't do research. We are entertainers, not professional interrogators. Listen to your professors. Only follow the Army Field Manual and what you've been trained to do. So West Point, professors at West Point have agreed to use this, and we're approaching other military academies. That's on one side, on the military training side. We've also been bringing interrogators out to Hollywood to talk to writers about the dramatic possibilities of legal interrogations. which are hugely psychological if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is a quiet room and time and two people, and that you have it all there about how you would extract information out of somebody that doesn't include violence. It can be extremely dramatic. So we had these interrogators talk about what they have experienced in reality in getting information out of suspects.
Let me welcome in some callers. Julia in Wanakee. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I guess what I wanted to say was that with this new twist that there are good guys doing the torturing, I mean, that's how you used to always know who the bad guys were. They were the ones that were willing to stoop to torture. There was this bright line. And now that it's been crossed in our popular culture, I find that really disturbing. I feel like not torturing is a big part of what makes us civilized. And I don't know. I feel like an old fart, but their kids didn't say what they're doing. But I really feel like this is just a step down a terrible road.
Yeah,
it really bothers me.
I think you raise a really excellent point, and what I think about a lot is how these scenes of torture, of American heroes torturing, are viewed overseas. We export our culture in huge amounts, and our government says we don't use torture, but then there's all the press about Abu Ghraib, all the press about Guantanamo, and then the consumption of our culture, which glorifies Americans torturing. How do we think that lands in the Middle East? How do we think that lands in Muslim countries, Arab countries? It can't do us any favors.
Yeah, and it's not just your group that's concerned on how this affects the whatever the reputation of America around the world. The military is concerned about it too, right?
Hugely concerned. Mm. You know, it's not common really to have the U.S. Military Academy and a human rights group ally. You wouldn't think that we're the most natural partners, but we have found real common cause around this.
Now, let me mention, though, as that's one of the few TV shows that I watch is 24. We record it. When Jack's torturing, it is very disturbing to watch it still, but he's always they show it in a way that it produces false information. An innocent person is getting tortured. It's extremely emotional and traumatic for Jack as well. It's not necessarily depicted in a good light. Does that make a difference?
Well, I actually don't know that that's true. I've now watched all five. We're in the sixth mm-hmm. season. I've watched it all. The vast majority of time, torture works, and it works pretty quickly. He gets the information. It's very rarely a goose chase. I mean, the interrogators told the guys at 24, the writers and producers, the only thing torture guarantees you is pain. Mm-hmm. It doesn't guarantee the truth, and it is really the most ineffective way to gather actionable human intelligence. And they spelled this out in really clear terms. But on 24, you get the impression that coercion works. It just worked on Morris. You know, for those who watched the show, there was an instance of what we call bad guy torture, where the very bad guy used a power drill on an engineer's shoulder and got him to program 4 nuclear bombs.
Right.
Torture tends to work instead of making people pass out or go into cardiac arrest or die, as it does in real life.
Matt and Racine is next. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, what you were just talking about, I agree completely with. I've been in the military for a long time, went through a POW scenario for over a week as the POW, and part of that was training us to resist coercion. And she's absolutely right. We're trained to mislead and do other things, but if you end up giving information, then the next time they want information, they're going to do the exact same thing they did before. And so coercion rarely, if ever, gives you a correct answer. She's right. The only thing it guarantees is pain. The other thing I thought was the opening comments about the types of torture. I thought the statement about sleep deprivation, things like that, are now considered okay. In my opinion, they've always been considered okay, and they've always been, I think they just got redefined. The comment was that we didn't allow torture before, but now we do. I just thought that was a little misleading.
Well, there is an absolute ban on torture and cruel treatment under U.S. law, international law, and the Geneva Conventions. And the Bush administration they relaxed that, and they approved 25 techniques that are not part of Army doctrine. They are not in the United States field manual that gives guidance on interrogation. You know, the field manual's main point is only due to suspects and detainees what you would have done to an American. It's pretty much the golden rule. And the U.S. authorized by memo and executive order this is really Secretary Rumsfeld did, 24 new techniques, use of dogs, you know, extremeness of temperature, all kinds of changes. And they suspended the Geneva Conventions, which is basically unprecedented. And what that did was create real confusion in the field. On top of that, there was extraordinary pressure on people to get information about this insurgency every single day. And there was this sense of, if you don't get information, and this is what we learned from people in the field, you're letting your buddies die. And so coercion has become more the norm than something that is absolutely banned. There have been some 600 government-recorded acts of abuse. 12 people have been tortured to death in U.S. custody. There have been 34 homicides. It's a widespread problem that is the result of a change in policy. And the stuff on TV just exacerbates the problem.
Thank you, Matt. Let me get Alex in Wauwatosa on before our news. Hi, Alex.
Hello, Joy. Hello, guest.
Hi.
It's a good issue, but it begs a larger question, and that's with respect to video games for kids. Grand Theft Auto comes to mind. But let me say that I generally agree with the guest, but let me try to defend the Jack Bauer character in particular. I think the juxtaposition between the good guy, Jack, and the bad guy, Fayed, is instructive. They both use torture. They both do. But Jack has a conscience. I think Jack is very conflicted about it, what he does. He exercises some restraint, some discretion. But I think most important is that when he does step beyond the line of what is legal, he takes responsibility. He says, yeah, I did this. Yeah, I accept the consequences of what I've done. But overall, I think it's important to understand that 24 is a made-up TV show and, you know, probably doesn't reflect reality much at all. Mm-hmm. And I'll listen on the radio.
Yeah, we just have a minute before news break, Jill Savitt.
Well, I think it wouldn't be, I wouldn't be so concerned if these things weren't being imitated in the field. And Jack might have a conscience about these things, but it still sends this message that torture works, that it's okay in some way. The truth is, if he really were to accept the consequences, he'd be court-martialed and sent to jail because what he's done is totally, totally illegal.
We're talking with Jill Savitt. She is Director of Public Campaigns for Human Rights First, which is currently running the Prime Time Torture Project, talking about whether TV shows like 24 are encouraging torture and hurting America's reputation around the world. The hit TV show 24 has just announced that it will tone down the torture in future episodes, but because it thinks they're trite, not because of this concern. We'll talk more about that after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Friday morning, February the 16th. We're talking about TV shows like 24 and whether or not they're encouraging torture and encouraging the U.S. military, especially young personnel in the U.S. military, to torture and whether they are hurting America's reputation around the world. The U.S. military and our guests' group appealed to the producers of the hit TV show to tone down the torture scenes. And our guest has also launched a project to limit the impact that primetime TV shows like 24 have on military interrogations and how Americans view torture. We welcome your thoughts and questions on whether or not shows like 24 and the depictions of torture on television go too far and are hurting the United States. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Our guest is Jill Savage. She is Director of Public Campaigns for Human Rights First. Human Rights First is running the Prime Time Torture Project. And our next caller is Steve in Wasaki. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. Good
morning.
Your program, I didn't know about the television uses of torture examples, but I learned a few years ago about the effects of torture. For example, Sister Diana Ortiz was tortured in Guatemala and has written a book about her experiences and how one day of torture just affected her whole life for many, many years. Apparently, this is often carried out in the South Central American countries by graduates of WINSEC, which is the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, located at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Yeah, formerly called the School of Americas.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, any, is that hooked up to this, Jill Savage?
Well, I think what happens is that when the United States condones torture in any form, and right now the ban on torture does not totally apply to the CIA, which as recently as September, the president said that they still may use an alternative set of techniques, that in quotes. When the United States takes a step like that, it does have a ripple effect in the rest of the world where more opportunistic governments who might want to do these things or already do these kinds of coercive techniques on their internal dissidents, which Sister Diana Ortiz was someone who was helping the poverty-stricken, it gives them some cover. They can say, well, America does it. America does this, so we're just doing what America does. And I think that's very damaging.
Yeah. Do you believe, Jill Savage, that the soldiers or whoever it was that was involved in the Abu Ghraib torture situation, that they somehow got this idea from watching 24?
I don't. I do not blame Hollywood for this problem. This is an unintended, what's happened with television is an unintended consequence and something that I think we can constructively deal with. The real problem is U.S. policy and a sense that rough people up, use coercion, go to the limits, that's the best way to get information rather than rapport building, trying to language training, having more people infiltrate. It's a completely different approach. You know, we heard something from someone at CENTCOM who said, you know, we know where the line is, and we want interrogators to go up to the line and get chalk on their shoes in terms of using the most coercive techniques. And people who've actually been in the interrogation booth will say, that is the exact wrong approach. Walk away from the line. Yeah. Establish a rapport. Talk to people in their own language. Treat them with dignity. You're going to get far more information.
Next, we go to Jason in Milwaukee. Hello, Jason.
How you doing?
Good. What do you think?
I'd like to ask a question first. How is it that watching TV is going to make others do certain things to people? However, the militants or terrorists in Iraq or Afghanistan, whichever, how is it that, you know, cutting people's heads off is, I mean, are they watching TV? Is that giving them the idea to do stuff to Americans?
Yeah. You don't think that there's anything wrong with these TV shows depicting torture, Jason?
Absolutely not. I don't think that that's going to give somebody an idea to do something in the military. I think
West Point, the professors at West Point will tell you something different, that junior soldiers, cadets, are consuming this media in massive amounts. They're unclear on what the guidance is from the government. They're in the field under extreme pressure, and they're feeling the need to use coercion. They've never been trained in how to do coercion, and the only training they get on that, the only sight they see of it, is on television. I raised this. I traveled out to L.A. and have talked extensively with professors at West Point. We've talked to professors at Fort Huachuca, which trains soldiers on interrogation, and they say it's a real problem.
Yeah. What about his point that the terrorists chop off heads, yet U.S. military is not expected to use any sort of force in interrogating?
I'd hate to use those al-Qaeda kinds of folks as any sort of moral barometer that we would guide ourselves by. I mean, we're America.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't do that kind of stuff.
Well, that's understood, but if you take a soldier marine in combat that's under pressure, and if he has a chance to save, if not hundreds, or even a couple of marines or soldiers, what is he supposed to do?
Well, you premise that assumption on the fact that coercion would work. That
right.
Coercion would be the best way to get the information, and that's one of the most damaging things about these shows, is that they perpetuate that. When we went out I've interviewed dozens of interrogators. They say any kind of coercion is absolute amateur hour. It's the worst way to go about gathering human intelligence. It muddles the mind. It doesn't give clarity. It's more likely to produce a lie than the truth and send you on a goose chase rather than get you the information that you need. It's illegal, it's immoral, but put all that aside. It is an ineffective way of gathering human intelligence. It alienates the person and that community because word of torture always circulates among the local population. Our allies decry it. I mean, you go to our website, primetimetorture.org, and we list all the reasons that torture makes us less safe, not more safe.
Thank you very much, Jason. Next, I go to Don in Madison. Hello, Don.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd just like to say that torture is absolutely morally wrong, and you're absolutely right. It doesn't produce the best results or the correct results. But I'm really calling to comment on Fox and 24 in general and just how it's such a propaganda fear machine for this current administration. Right now, I don't know if you're following the plot, but they're not only slamming Islamic extremists, which maybe need to be slammed, but they're tying it into the Russians manipulating them and getting even for, us supposedly winning the Cold War.
Yeah.
And this is just, over the top. Fox should be, taken off the air. I think it's just really sad how they are desensitizing people to torture and really nasty things, and also promoting this kind of culture of fear that's endemic in our country right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree, Jill Savin?
Well, it's interesting. I don't know if your listeners read The New Yorker, but there's a fabulous piece by Jane Mayer in this week's New Yorker about the politics of the co-creator of the show 24 and his socializing and ties to Rush Limbaugh, and how 24 is among the favorite shows of the White House, and how Karl Rove has had this co-creator and sort of taken him around Washington, and he's a bit of a darling in the administration. And he does believe that torture works and has a worldview that supports the administration's policy. So there is a polemic to this. And I think that the listener is correct in saying that it's very troubling when that kind of polemic gets this kind of popularity.
We are going to check weather, and then we'll continue talking with Jill Savitt, who is Director of Public Campaigns for Human Rights First, which is running what's called the Primetime Torture Project, trying to get Hollywood, including the producers of 24, to stop depicting scenes of torture in shows like 24. The producers of 24 just the other day did announce that they're going to tone it down, but not due to this so-called pressure, just because they think creatively they need to move on. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, In about 12 minutes or so, we will talk with two guests about the news of the week. It's our Friday Week in Review, and we'll welcome in Ed Garvey and Rick Berg to talk with you about the top political stories of this past week. Right now, we're talking about a story that's making a lot of news this week, talking about the depiction of torture on television and popular TV shows like 24, wondering whether this encourages torture among those in our military and is hurting the reputation of America around the world. Our guest says yes. She is with the Human Rights First Group and involved with the Prime Time Torture Project. Her name is Jill Savitt, and our next caller is Scott in Green Bay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning. I got to tell you, really kind of infuriates me more than anything else. For 20 to 30 years, we've been saying that, conservatives have been saying that, media and television are corrupting our society. And Hollywood and the media have basically thrown every type of moral depravity at you. It's constantly pushing the envelope on television. You hear that all the time. All of a sudden, a show like 24 comes on, and people are hysterical about it. I don't understand the hypocrisy when it comes to, okay, there's a show that, wow, a conservative group of people actually like, so we really have to look at this now. That's point number one. Point number two is, how do you negotiate with an individual? You were talking about showing them respect and dignity, which I believe we shouldn't be violating people's human rights. But coercion, I think there's a point where it works, because first of all, I think there's a lot of smart people that realize if it didn't work, they wouldn't continue to do it. Second of all, how do you negotiate with the person across the table from you, and the only thing they want to do is kill you? Because it is ingrained in them, deep down in their philosophy, their core, and their religious beliefs. You're not going to make buddies with the terrorists. You're not going to sit there and have a dialogue with these guys, and things are going to get better.
Yeah, let me get a response from Jill Savitt.
Well, you know, I can only say that I've talked to, for instance, a 25-year veteran of the FBI who worked on the Klan, the Ku Klux Klan in the United States, and breaking up the threat of that terrorist network, and worked on FARC in Colombia and interviewed Al-Qaeda. And he says it doesn't work. I've not been in an interrogation booth. I don't know if you have. So I rely on the experts. Colonel Stuart Harrington, a 30-year veteran interrogator from the Army. He's done more than 10,000 interrogations. He says it doesn't work. There are a variety of other ploys, shrewd ways of going about it. I'm not saying be buddy-buddy. That really does reduce this to a fantasy. I'm saying that there are ways that these interrogators structure their approach. Fascinating. Dramatic. Really unbelievable stories these guys can spin out. We're doing a report of it right now, and it'll be on our website in the next month or so, about what does work in interrogation. There are manuals and manuals and books about it. So that's point one. Point two is, some of these people are hardened. They're entire jihadists. They're not going to give it up. Martyrdom is the aspiration. And they're not going to give it up if you cut off a finger or if you befriend them. They are not going to talk. So that's another thing. I really do believe that torture harms us. When it is practiced in America's name, it harms us strategically in the world, and it is not a good way to gather human intelligence. It's a counterproductive way. I am not about being soft on anything. I live in New York City. I saw the Twin Towers on fire from my office. I want to keep America safe, and I do not believe that torture helps.
Do you see any hypocrisy in opposing a show like 24 and its depictions of torture and, as Scott says, not caring if there's, violence on television in general?
Well, I'm a human rights activist, work at a human rights organization, and speech is one of our big ones. Right up there among the most prominent rights. We are not trying to censor 24. We brought three interrogators out to talk to the writers to try to provide them alternative ways of doing this. We never told them not to do it. And nowhere on our website or in our public comments do we say, stop doing what you're doing. What we said is, this is the result of what you're doing. Might we talk to you about some alternatives that you might use?
Thanks to Scott for the call. Mike in West Dallas. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just want to really thank your guest for this show. I think it's such an important area of discussion. So many people have this idea that torture is an effective means of communication or collection of information, and that that's, I think, based in sort of a lack of imagination about what is possible and what's not possible. I just saw this movie, Man on Fire, in which Denzel Washington executes a series of torture acts on the part of a abducted girl directed at a Mexican mafia that is abducting small children. And each time he gains more information. And again, the whole time I'm watching it, he's an excellent actor, and it's a fantastically dramatic thing. But it seems to indicate that this is how you get information successfully. And that my other point was that the Spanish president recently, I think, made comments that condemned United States torture activities in Iraq, and that his comments were, I thought, really demonstrative of the rest of the world's view of this, and that for us to kind of go the other direction is really foolhardy, long-term to our interests, especially when you compare what we're doing versus what, say, for instance, a country like South Africa did with its truth commissions. The mm-hmm. information that came out in the truth commissions, where you actually have people revealing the information of what they've done, would never, if nobody was ever going to, nobody's ever going to admit, for instance, in Iraq, that I'm a former Republican Guard. I'm one of the people that mowed down 500 people and stuck them in a mass grave. If you don't have some way of saying, look, there were a lot of people that did a lot of bad things in a lot of bad situations. And that's pretty much what happened with those truth commissions. So.
Yeah,
that's, it's interesting. But at the truth commissions, you get amnesty for the trade-off is that you won't be prosecuted. You won't face, consequences if you agree to tell the truth and come forward. The other problem with torture is that we have made these suspects unprosecutable. I would like nothing more. Our human rights organization would like nothing more than to put the bad guys in jail and have them not be circulating. The problem is that once you torture somebody, you're really, well, there's been a new law passed that you can use evidence gained through coercion, which really does, that shocks the conscience. That is new and unprecedented and a real downward turn in terms of our legal system. You really aren't allowed to use information gained through coercion, although the Military Commissions Act now allows you to do it. But there's a reason for it. The torture has a bad effect not only on our reputation and on the torturer and on the person who's tortured, but on the ability to put people away for doing very bad things.
Let me go to Chaz in Oneida. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Or is it Chase?
Chaz.
Okay.
Yes, good morning. Yes, I think it's very important to put some context to the discussion as well, and particularly in America, the book written by Roan and Nelson talks about who's the savage. I just think it's really key to understand context of the violence and torture, and its intent is always a part of the discussion. So I just wanted to add that to the debate, if you will, or dialogue, more importantly, on this very important subject. Thank you, particularly towards Indigenous peoples.
Yeah, and just talk more about that. We don't understand, Chaz. What about Indigenous people and torture?
Well, I think there's been certainly several myths about discovery of America, that the land was a vast, unsettled territory. And there were thriving civilizations here in North, Central, South America. And I believe Indigenous peoples around the world have had a similar experience with civilization, where there's almost a dehumanization of the individual, and therefore is justification for any action taken on that individual. And it's been primarily about land and resources. So I think we're back to the same theme here, even in this day and age in 2007. It's about resources and land.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Any comment on that, Joe Savitt?
I think that the whole notion of human rights and the promotion of them is to not dehumanize. And what's been unsettling for our organization is that we're fighting battles about core rights that we thought we had already won. And it is distressing to have so much backsliding and to spend our rather limited resources fighting a fight that it was already done.
Yeah.
To have to fight it over again is unfortunate, and it doesn't allow us to do more proactive things.
Yeah. So we have a minute to go here. Part of the fight that you're fighting, you got, whether they admit it or not, 24 says it's not going to use a lot of torture. You consider that a victory?
Oh, yeah. I don't care why they do it, as long as they stop doing it. And, you know, 24 was basically the leader in putting this kind of stuff out there. I think it would be fantastic if they could be the leader in the retreat from it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Jill Savitt is Director of Public Campaigns for Human Rights First. Human Rights First is running the Prime Time Torture Project. Talking about the problem and the solution of too many TV shows depicting torture, and especially on 24, torture by good guys. We thank her for being with us. We thank Leo Duran for producing the hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. For more information, you can go to primetimetorture.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.